Thank you very much, Greg, and the organizers for this opportunity. So, as the title shows, I'm going to talk on this topic of carbon sequestration, which is one of the environmental benefits that Dr. Jose has identified. this momentum has been built up in the past two decades, and some of the important steps that happened during the past nearly two decades are these global events like the establishment of the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the UNFCCC, the Kyoto Protocol, and that sort of global activities and covenants and agreements and all that. And then following that, there is also this global activity momentum on the REDD, reducing emission through deforestation. And so all those things are happening, have happened. So a major milestone in these developments has been the acceptance of carbon sequestration through afforestation and reforestation activities, the A&R, as the greenhouse gas offset activities, and this was accepted by the UNFCCC, and that was a major step. And agroforestry was recognized as one of the A&R activities. So these were the major developments that happened that spread that that led to the research and development activities leading to carbon sequestration in agroforestry. And the University of Florida, we have been working on this topic for about 20 years. So to summarize some of the things that we are all familiar with, when we talk about carbon sequestration, we are talking about storage and sequestration of carbon above ground in the vegetation and below ground in the soil. And agroforestry systems are believed to have a higher potential to sequester carbon because of their perceived ability for greater capture and utilization of growth resources of light, nutrients, and water than in single species crop or pasture systems. So there are various estimates of carbon stored in the ecosystems, and so I'm not going into those things, and I'm also not going into the mechanism and the storage and production mechanisms of soil organic carbon. Quite a bit of work has been done in these areas, not by agroforestry folks, but in general, the environmental sciences and soil scientists and all those. So there is a lot, it's a rigorous body of scientific knowledge existing out there. So there are three major mechanisms of production of carbon, and the chemical stabilization, especially in the smallest fraction size of silt and clay through adsorption, physical production in the macro and micro large size aggregate, soil aggregates, and biochemical recalcitrance. So these are the major accepted mechanisms of carbon storage and production. And in, as far as the agroforestry systems and carbon sequestration are concerned, the major concepts are that the agroforestry systems have higher potential to for carbon sequestration than single species system that I mentioned before, and it's based on the niche complementarity hypothesis. So I'm just reviewing some of the known principles, and as I said, we have been working on this topic for quite some time, and we have one of the outputs, you know, is the scientifically rigorous peer-reviewed publications, and we have quite a number of publications that have come out in the international scientific literature for the past, at least for the, you know, during the past 10 years, I would say, since 2008, book chapters, several journal articles, and several presentations to different types of audiences, nationally and internationally. So, I think we are talking from a little bit of a position of strength in terms of some of these things. Just to present a couple of examples of the research studies that we have conducted in Florida, the plant sources of soil organic carbon at different soil depths from systems involving trees and systems without trees, and I'm not going to explain, I can explain, but you don't have to go into the details of that. Just suffice it to say that the C4, that is the tree-based carbon, was present in the minor fractions, the smaller fractions of soil, and this has been established by our studies and by other studies, and in the home garden, so-called home garden systems, in the tropical home garden systems in the southern part of India, for example, we had one study. And the point I want to mention here is again pretty well known. The top one?
No, the bottom.
This top?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. So these are pretty well known. This is the amount of carbon, organic carbon, the stock of carbon up to 1 meter depth. And if this is the forest, and we all know that as you go down the soil, the carbon stock increases. The soil, the forest contains largest amount of carbon, which is supposed to be the best land use system from that perspective. And the crop component contains, the crop agricultural system contains the least. And the tree-based systems, they come in between. Probably we can deduce that, but we have the data to show that it is true. And this has been repeated also in other studies. The point I want to make is that tree-based systems, including if you have forest, that's great. But we also have agricultural lands. And if you have tree-based systems, as we have in the home gardens where this study was conducted, they are a happy union between the extremes of forest and the crop situations. Coming to summarizing some of those main things that we found from those studies, the tree-based systems compared to treeless systems under similar conditions store more carbon in deeper layers of soil. And when the tree density is higher, naturally the organic organic carbon content is higher, especially in the top 50 centimeter soil and in smaller fractions of soil. The importance of the carbon being stored in smaller fractions of soil is that it is more recalcitrant, more long term, and so it is more sequestered in the long time. So soil organic carbon stock under long-term agroforestry systems with high tree density like home gardens and shaded perennial systems, they are comparable to the situations in natural forests. In sparse tree density situations like the soil stores more carbon near the trees than away from the trees. I mean, these are all based on the studies that we have conducted and scientific studies. C3 plants contribute to more carbon in the silt plus clay size fraction than the C4 plants in a deeper soil profile. So these are some of the major things that we found, and we also have made estimates, guesstimates, so to speak, actually, and of the carbon sequestration potential of different types of agroforestry systems on a sort of global scale, because some of the planning people, development experts, they want this sort of numbers to play with. And now I will focus on some of the for recent activities in this area. There was a conference in Paris in early this year, in May of 2017, and then we have two ongoing studies on carbon sequestration in shaded perennial systems, one in southern part of India and the other in Turrialba in Costa Rica. We have just completed a meta-analysis of soil carbon sequestration under agroforestry systems. And also another study is in progress. So these are graduate student-involved studies in progress on carbon sequestration in the silvopastoral systems in Brazil. Now this is the conference I referred to, the sequestering carbon in soil, addressing the climate threat, in early May, and about 200 soil carbon experts, including farmers and NGOs and private sector leaders, government officials, philanthropists, and all sorts of people, and students from 34 countries assembled there by invitation. We are all invited participants to talk about soil carbon sequestration through agriculture and ecosystem restoration. And naturally, there were panel discussions and all that. There was consensus around the notion that there must be a comprehensive shift from single-species systems to multi-species systems across the agricultural industry. And agroforestry systems have significantly higher soil carbon sequestration potential than single-species systems. This was the outcome of the whole conference, that this, some of these recommendations and these outcomes have somewhat far-reaching consequences because they go to the ears of policy makers and planners at the highest level. And they have been, the conference organizers have been pursuing these action agendas very vigorously since then. So another study that is another scientific study that's in progress is what I mentioned, the carbon sequestration under shaded perennial systems, so like coffee. And this study is done in two different, similar ecosystem, but in two entirely different geographical regions, one in southern part of India, about 1,000 meter elevation. Both places, coffee is grown in the higher elevation. So 700 to 1,000 meter elevation, but the rainfall ranges are quite different. In this situation, the pictures here are from India. I think they all of them are from India, and there the rainfall is pretty high, about 2,400 millimeters, whereas in Costa Rica, it is much lower, so only about 800 millimeters, but both are higher elevation, and both are high, good quality coffee. And so the results are just emerging. We have total organic carbon, soil organic carbon, at coffee under Grevillea. Grevillea is one of the shade trees they use in, particularly in India. Coffee under mixed shade of Grevillea and some other species. And also we had tea under Grevillea. The extent of shade, the intensity of shade by shade trees is very different in these different treatments. Of course, there was also a farmer's home garden and the nearby forest. And this is the same type of result that is coming out as in our previous studies, which is also, you know, which could be expected because the forest naturally has the highest store of carbon. And then comes the shaded system, particularly with Grevillea. One reason here is that we have the tree density was much higher in this one compared to this one. And a mixed shade system, there the intensity of trees was somewhat in between. That, see, you had to realize that we went into a plantation that was existing, what they call estate, a plantation. And it was not planted according to, they never thought that some researchers from here would come and investigate their system and all that. All the plantings were done 50, 70 years ago. And we just went in there, and we collected the information on the trees and the planting density and the way in which they were managing that, all those things from whatever they said. So it was not a regularly planned experiment, so to speak. So there is a lot of variation in the data, but that also shows that we are talking about real things from nature, from where it really exists, unlike in artificial experiments. Anyhow, this is one study, and with all its ramifications on various other types of things coming out of that, that is in progress. I'm not going into explaining all the details of these things. Basically, what it says is that the Grevillea system, the coffee under the shade of Grevillea had much more soil organic carbon in the soil compared to the other mixed shade systems, and also lower density shade of Grevillea over tea. This can be related very much, my point is that it can be related very much to the number of trees present on the per unit area. So I told you about the meta-analysis that we have just completed, and so the objective there was to assess the organic carbon stock changes under the forestry, agroforestry, agriculture continuum. We had selected 53 peer-reviewed studies and 213 data points and 25 countries from tropical and temperate, and organic carbon stock from only to 30 centimeter was considered because that was the, what was available. So we found that change in organic carbon stock in the tropics from in the conversion or transition from agriculture to agroforestry, it changed by about 24% increase. Okay, whereas from forestry to agroforestry transition, it declined by 9%. And change in the organic carbon stock in temperate region from agriculture to agroforestry was relatively lower, about 3%. And organic carbon stock changes was, we also did the analysis also included changes in happening in different continents, because as I said, we had several 25 countries from all over the places. And the organic carbon stock changes were higher in agroforestry situations or land use situations in Asia and in North America than elsewhere. Elsewhere means Latin America and Africa. There we have some reasons or explanations for that, but this again, this is not validated by any survey or anything. Now that I have mentioned our thinking about that, we argue that the type of land management, the intensity with which the land is managed, is much more rigorous in Asia, in Asian home gardens and Asian agricultural farm, because the land size is for the family, the farm size is very small, and so there is much more managerial attention, and they manage those farms very intensively compared to those in in Africa, for example. And I have, as some of you know, personal experience of land management in all these different regions. So that study, this is it's a difficult to read slide. This is the spit, or the spit out is coming out of the computer when this meta-analysis is done, and so this shows the changes in associate percentage from different forest to tropical silver pasture, forest to shaded perennial, and all these different types of land management. And so this is in this range. Okay, the number of observations are given in parentheses, and agriculture to versus agroforestry, and so on and so forth. And the rhombus in the center is a mean, and the whiskers are the standard deviations. The confidence intervals. So this is a statistically rigorous way of doing this thing, and it has come out with the results that probably we all knew, but we didn't have any valid statistically rigorous test to validate that. Okay, so then there are some general issues that that we come across always in this sort of studies about challenges in estimating carbon sequestration. There are a whole lot of issues in that. There is a lot of uncertainty in the studies on carbon sequestration, not only in agroforestry, but all over. But in agroforestry, they are of a much, much higher magnitude, because nothing is properly designed and laid out in agroforestry. And we don't have any long-term experiments or any nature in agroforestry. Very, very unfortunate. So there are so many issues involved in that. A lot of estimations are made about agroforestry, right from the area to all these sort of scientific conclusions on the carbon stock and all that. There are pitfalls, deficiencies, irregularities in all those estimations. Allometric equations, most of the equations that people want to use are not available for agroforestry species, and then a lot of FAO and many other global organizations, they use some very general equations and all that, which may not be really applicable, as we all know. General forestry models are for even age continuous stands, whereas we know in our systems that we are talking about, we don't have even age stands, we don't have continuous canopies, so some of the general forestry models are not applicable to these two. And there are all sorts of things, and I wrote a paper about these things three or four years ago in agroforestry systems, and I've seen a lot of people citing that, but we are not doing anything to overcome the problems, in my thinking. Okay, so there are also so many deficiencies, irregularities in soil estimations. No uniform depth of sampling. Different people do things differently as they can. For various reasons, there is no uniformity in the depth of sampling. There are also variations in soil analytical procedures, and there is also inadequate reporting of the results. And some of the fundamentally important parameters like soil bulk density are not reported in many of the studies. In that meta-analysis that we mentioned, we could not use many of the reported results because they were incomplete. And in some situations, we corresponded with the authors and got the bulk density values, but in other places, we had to just deduce some of those things from general understanding, which is not the best way of doing it. So there are so many deficiencies in our reporting also. Then there are also other challenges like the area under agroforestry. As I said, you know, it's mostly a guessing game. Although ICRAF and other international organizations, there are a couple of papers that they have done on based on the rigorous remote sensing and all that, and so some scientifically proven results are emerging. One of the things that we need to keep in mind when you talk about soil carbon is the pattern of soil carbon storage is not likely to be linear. A lot of people assume that it's a straight line situation. No. A lot of the carbon storage pattern, it is not linear over time. I think we need to recognize that. And there are also uncertainties about the residence time of carbon in soil. For how long does the carbon remain in the soil? And I have seen some different estimations from very high-ranking papers in Nature and all that, that people are coming into grips with the reality of these things. Some of these estimations have problems. Okay, so what are the opportunities for enhancing soil carbon sequestration under agroforestry systems? I would say the existing multi-strata and tree intercropping systems will continue to provide substantial carbon sequestration benefits, but the areas under those systems are relatively less. We heard from Dr. Jose that the extent of area under agroforestry itself in the U.S., if you take with silver pasture or without silver pasture, there's a lot of difference. Then some promising pathways for capitalizing on these opportunities would include grazing land management in a wide variety of contexts and the working trees in dry lands, another great area of opportunity, and vegetative riparian buffer, like we are doing in the Midwestern U.S., for example, is a classical example. So there are some of these pathways that we can capitalize on. I think that's the end of my story. Thank you.